Amen. The Apostle Paul is one of the most controversial characters in Christianity. It is inevitable to embrace the Christian faith without finding him along the way. We cannot bypass Paul. Through his letters, Paul explains how he understands Christ. From his own journey as a converted Pharisee and Roman citizen and a single man. Anyone who reads his letters without considering these situations could end up loving him or hating him. Paul is credited with some of the most incendiary phrases of the New Testament. Women should be silent in churches, for they're not permitted to speak, but should be subordinate. What do you think, Jenny? It is well for a man not to touch a woman. Wives, be subject to your husbands as you are to the Lord. And so on. Many patriarchal phrases like this. What we need to know is that Paul dares to explain Christianity from his Jewish experience in the same way in how some of us try to explain Christ from our own experience, whatever that might be. The point is that some of the letters from the Christian Bible attributed to Paul contain very special and specific historical situations and circumstances which can hardly be adapted to our modern world. And when we try to define our current concept of family, marriage, sexuality, and other issues like this without applying the necessary filters, we could end up marginalizing people in the name of God and the God of Paul. Therefore, no one can rush to accept or dismiss Paul lightly, although he is the most important theologian that Christianity has ever had. His letters must be read with great historical and literary responsibility. So, to understand Paul, we must locate him in history, understand the philosophical, political, and social circumstances of someone like him living in the Roman Empire of the first century, and from there begin to draw some risky conclusions. But Paul was also enlightened ahead of his time. He managed to visualize the direction that Christianity should take and how to maintain its essence despite the coming changes. Paul had a very deep understanding about religion, and he explained topics such as faith, hope, works, love, in a brilliant way. And to be fair with Paul, I think he never imagined that we Christians will make of his private letters a sacred book. So be careful with the letters you write. So it's not surprising that in this passage that we just read, Paul launches one of the most radical social and religious and subversive proposals of his time. We are all heirs of God. Those of us who follow Christ have only one spirit, he said, and that spirit makes us all members of a single family. Maybe it is time to start seeing the church as that, as Paul says, as a family and not as a corporation. See it as a group of brothers and sisters learning to live together and not as partners of a company where we jealously guard our own interest or the interest of those in power. And this is the image of the American church. I have a friend in Argentina who told me, "I like the American church because you can buy also donuts in the church." What things are not negotiable in order to be able to maintain ourselves as a one family of God? This tradition of family in God goes in the face of his own Jewish tradition, which suggested that they were God's only chosen ones. Paul extends the limits of social inclusion to the fullest. You are slaves, are also heirs of God. That should sound very strong. Christians repressing other Christians. Children of God subduing other children of God. This is completely paradoxical and anti-Christian. Therefore, it is necessary to recognize and always bear in mind that our vision of the kingdom of God is inevitably obscured by this system we live in, where we have developed our life and from where we have derived most of our beliefs. As explained by the group Stormheads, they said, "The exploitation of man by man is not reduced to its most grotesque and painful manifestations. It is a logic, a way with which the human being has conformed his being on this planet. The exploitation of man by man is capitalism. That is its essence, the engine that sets it in motion." We can read Marx or listen to Tony Montana in Scarface. Do you know what capitalism is? I won't say it, okay? I won't say how Tony Montana say it. But it's be thrown under the bus or throw others under the bus. Is that the idea we want to put in the life of a church? Therefore, Paul's approach is relevant to us if we are all heirs of God. Then Christianity is a change of relational paradigm. That is, Christ invites us to change the way, not only which we see others, but also in how we treat each other. Jesus says, "In everything do to others as you will have them do to you." As for us today too, for some, it sounds strong that the undocumented, the refugees, those who ask for asylum, the transgender people, and all of those marginalized and exploited by society are also heirs of God. As Howard Thurman in his book, Jesus and the Disinherited, explained, "It has long been a matter of serious moment that for decades we have studied the various people of the world and those who live as our neighbors, as objects of missionary endeavor and enterprise, without being at all willing to treat them either as brothers or as human beings. So by saying that we are heirs of God, Paul warns his audience that in the kingdom of God, there are no class differences. The Christian faith cannot be flourished, nor can the kingdom of God be established as long as we continue producing second-class Christians or what is worse, children of God of second category. On the other hand, if our Christian faith entails legitimizing and perpetuating systems of oppression to keep human beings at the service of the most privileged, then that kind of faith is no more than a shameful tool used for abuse and discrimination. So to say that we are heirs of God places us, all of us, at the same level. And although some of us find it difficult to accept it, we cannot be a Christian while our neighbor, the person who visits this church, represents an object from which we can take advantage. Every person who enters through that door is important, and not only deserves from us our best hospitality, but also the sincere desire that we dream through practice, a faith that sees everyone with dignity and amazement and wondering, where we respect the spiritual journey of each person, and where we are committed to remain faithful to each other in love, no matter what happens, no matter the disagreements. But if we are not able to expand our understanding of what it is to be a church, then it is time to turn to the simplicity of the gospel, that is, to be a community. Finally, when Paul refers to heirs of God, he also includes every living being of any species that is exploited and occupies a space in this planet. As long as our Christian faith remains limited to the human race and continues to leave out the rest of creation, we are condemned to continue feeding exclusive beliefs, totally in contradiction with God's idea of a world where we all fit. Our idea of a sanctuary extends to every living being that seeks hope, the hope of thousands of species that disappear every year before the silence of an indifferent and myopic Christianity. We are heirs of God. It's an invitation to rethink our concept of the church, to put in perspective each service, each volunteer activity, each project, each idea about our future, to verify if it passes the test of equality and inclusivity. May the Spirit of God in us continue to cry out within us and help us continue to build the kingdom of God among us. Amen.